Hi everyone and welcome to episode 60 of the Two Sporting Muppets. Yes, we're back for another fortnight look at the sport that was and that will be. And without any further ado, welcome to the microphone, my co-host, Gray Ryan. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well, Mr. T. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Had a good week. Busy juggling, you know, full-time, as I've mentioned this couple of times, juggling full-time work and full-time university study at the moment. But look, life's good, keeping me out of trouble. I am a bit sick of the wet weather, I'll be honest. A bit of rain's always nice, but kind of gone a few 2 days for me too long now. So we can just shuffle on a bit as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's hanging around. It doesn't want to go away. Affecting, look, kids' sport, where I live, dearly, it's all the sporting grounds are closed, bar netball, had the half surfaces. So a little bit of a shame. But apart from that, things have been going well. Look, stacks of sport, as always, so we might get into it. But Greg, just briefly, a couple of some news things we'll chat about. Then rugby league, rugby AF, move on to a rain port. Right. Now, if I may start, very remiss. It actually happened just before we recorded our last podcast. Had Terry Hill, unfortunately, the ex-Australian New South Wales centre, Terry Hill, passed away at 82, my age, from heart attack. Looked very unexpected and very, very sad. Now, as we all know, or most of us know, Tezza, he was quite a character. He was by no means a clean... He on the field or off the field, but he was a real. I think most people, you know, he's things with those greyhounds down at Dapto, Nad, whatnot.
Yeah, he was always a bit of a loose cannon, but always, you know, a larrikin. I guess the old Aussie term larrikin is how you'd label him.
Oh, absolutely. But I think what gets forgotten, Tess, he was a hell of a footballer. And it was in the Philippines, died. So yeah, and it does scare. Definitely makes you think. You know, when he's about our age and. Yeah, you know, heart attack. I don't know what you think, mate, but Southeast Asia for us blokes, old bloke, him and Warney, probably a good place to stay away from.
Does seem like that when we get to our age, doesn't it? That's the way it's going. A bit sad.
But with Tezza, I actually saw him play first year South. I played it against Balmain at Leichhardt. He played lock forward that day, and I thought he impressed. But he played 9 games for South. Then remember the draft. He was the subject of the big think draft. He was drafted. They brought in the draft and he was drafted to go to the eastern suburb and he didn't want to go. Fought it in court. But why that court battle was going on, he had to go. So he went and played 13 games for the Roosters and he played pretty well, scored 8 tries. But then he won his court case. Draft was thrown out saying it was, legislator said it unfair restraint of trade and we haven't seen it since. But he went over to Wests where he wanted to play under Warren Ryan. 33 games there. Then he went probably where he's most good at Manly. So he went over to Manly for 120 odd games and was there. So he played. And Tigers, look, I was sort of cased most of his Tigers, 50 odd games for the Tigers. And he actually went back to Manly, one last hurrah, 2005. So in total, 246 games, 89 tries. So that, you know, and City Origin, New South Wales, 14 games, 9 Test Australia. Look, he was a centre, as we know. He would not back anyone. Famous footage, him and Paul Harrigan, the front rower, going toe for toe. Also, that famous photo they still use today for Origin of him and Talis, basically in each other's faces. And so, hell of a footballer. And said at the start, Greg, knockabout larrikin. And yeah, just, gone way, way too soon.
Yeah, well said. I don't have much to add to that. But yeah, much loved in the football rugby league community and will be sorely missed, I'm sure. But yeah, hell of a player, great record, and will be missed.
And I remember, comedy, and, you know, he had that lisp voice. They used to take the mickey out of it, but he always laughed with it. He was that. Do you remember the Penguin, Dragon Centre, Graham Bradley?
Yeah, I do actually, yeah.
Him and Terry Hill, they did not like each other. And they had some great battles, particularly when the Penguin was at the Dragon. He was at Manly with Terry Hill. It was fun to watch. They really got stuck. Now, we'll get the sad stuff out of the way, mate. Unfortunate news today that Cam McCarthy, former Giants player and Fremantle player, 100-odd games of AFL, passed away yesterday. Fortunately, not much details, but it does.
Yeah, I read that early this morning before we started recording. Very, very sad. Again, very sad. You know, does appear mental health is involved. Reach out, check on your friends. Are they okay? If they say no, follow up with another conversation because people out there need support sometimes. So very, very, very sad news this morning in the AFL community.
Look, and they've responded well. That's why they both teams, well, Fremantle played last night with armbands, as did the Swan Giants. He'll be acknowledged. Good. Look, before we move on, well said, Greg. The saddest thing of fact is I won't. That's probably, and that's just not day life. But please get help. Now, the last couple of weeks, Greg, NRL, the game that keeps moving, we'll start with, okay, not very predictably, Jason Demetriou was sacked a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we've been flirting around the edges of this decision for a very long time. And yeah, it came to fruition just after we recorded. It wasn't a week, just a couple of days after we recorded the last pod a couple of weeks ago. And I'm sure you read it too. They published his letter, message, text, I think it was, to the playing group. And it was a really heartfelt, well-written message. And I think it seemed like a genuinely nice guy in the football world.
I think so. And I personally just think, Greg, like lots of us do, first top chip gig. You know, I'm sure he'd look back and say something differently. But yeah, he's love and concern the well-being of his players, you know, as men as well as footballers. So look, he's not lost the game. He's already been picked up by Triple M and I think Fox or somewhere else as well. And knowledgeable, and I won't be surprised if we don't where.
I would suspect he'll be in the coaching rank somewhere in the near future, both probably first as assistant again and then as I think he'll get another head coaching gig. Because he had some good results at South over the years. It wasn't all a disaster.
And also what he'll do, Hope, is you learn from your mistake. I think coach second time, I think if you don't make it up, probably. But yeah, I think I won't. Gig. But now, okay, well, he's gone. If it's supposed a problem, and now it's up to the rubber those players.
Mate, I tell you what, I feel sorry for Ben. You know, Ben Hornby's been around the ranks for a long time now. Obviously, you know, famously captain of Dragons last premiership, local Wollongong boy. But he's nearly been thrown under the bus, picking up the train wreck. And then with all the noise in the background about Wayne Bennett coming back next year to the Bunnies for 3 years, it really, he's in a rock and a hard place. What's he coaching for and what's going to happen in the future? I don't kind of get it. I feel sorry for him.
He is. But I will say, there is, when you take over as an interim, there is a bit less expectation. Like, even if they were to lose every game, it's sort of like, yeah, a basket case. You know, he's just holding. So, and if he gets a few unexpected wins, it can be a plus for him. But you're right. It's a tough choice. Look, Bunnies, it's Latrell's back. Look, Latrell's, even at his best, Latrell's not going to hold joint.
No way.
Straight away. But it will help that he's back. We'll just have to wait and see. The Bunnies, what they can throw up.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, they blame, we've said ad nauseum this, how often the coach gets blamed. Players seem to be able to walk on water. Well, as you said, it's now for time for the play. Coach is gone, if that's what they wanted, or that's what the decisions maker decided was the issue. So let's see what happens now for the rest of the season.
Good to you, Bunnies. Now, Gus Gould was fined last week for putting the game, basically being negative towards the game, and because he is an employee of a club and football manager at the Bulldog, you know, saying that on the Channel 9 footy show on Monday night that they were, you know, stupid. Look, good on the NRL. Well, I think good on the NRL. They want to fine him, but they've put themselves rock in a hard place because you could fine Gus every day. Like, he's done it for years. Like, never been afraid to criticise. So how do you highlight what from him and what's not?
Yeah, I don't know why this became the line in the sand. As you said, for years and years, Gus is, like him or loathe him, he does speak his mind. He's always vocal. I think, in all honesty, his heart's in the right place around what he believes is best for the game. I don't agree with him most of the time, but I think he believes that he's doing the right thing for the game. But where do you draw that? Why is this the decision that you finally come down hard on him? That's a bit like you, I don't understand.
And the reason I think it's probably silly, okay to fine him, but they're not going to be consistent. They're not going to fine him again the next time he criticises the NRL of a game.
No. And in some ways, they need people like Gus to keep the head, you know, keep the league and the competition in the headline. So he does to help them. He really does. And I think that they know that as well.
I will watch, see, you know, I think he was going to fight it anyway, but other things have happened. Not sure how down the track how it's going to finish. Casey Badger, big news of last week. Look, it's a shame, you know, just for anyone that wasn't. So Casey Badger, she refereed the Tigers game. Even beforehand, look, Casey has been refereeing this year with also a Sharp, male referee. Getting games, great to see. And it's all about improvement. Look, my summary, Belinda Sharp has improved. Casey, her refereeing has been sub. But regardless, The game against Tigers Bulldog. Unfortunately, they walked through us. She lost control. You know, some of the ways some players were carrying on to any male appropriate. Look, my thoughts after the game were, unfortunately, I'm not saying get rid of her, but my thoughts can't perform so and be given. But then, of course, the social media pile on, criticism, a few dinosaurs who unfortunately are misogynist, and then anti-misogyny, which is great, said these don't, you know, just because she's a female, blah, blah, blah. I think it forced the NRL. The NRL, I don't think, even if they wanted to, were never going to drop it this week because they would have been seen react to Sophia, blah, blah, blah. Look, and I hope Casey does improve. I just think that she need maybe a little bit more time back in reserve grade to get her confidence back and then give her a crack, you know, a little bit later down the line. Because I just think, you know, she's going to be all under a fair bit of, you know, game this weekend. That's anyway. What are your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, look, similar but slightly different to yours, I guess. And while I agree the bits I've seen, she hasn't performed at the level consistently. I think she's had a couple of better games and a couple of worse games. I think my issue is I don't, even if a male had a referee had a poor game like she had last week and lost control, which I've seen happen, I don't think they would have behaved the same way. So I have an issue more with the players. I have an issue with the players and their behavior more so than, now, Casey had a bad game. Players have bad games and they walk off and they're not accountable. Referees have a bad game and they're all over the media. And I think that, you know, a player can drop a ball. Oh, you know, slap on the back is all right. Be next time. A ref missed a call. And you lost us the game. And I think the balance is completely wrong. And I think for the betterment of the game, we need female involvement. And I think to have two female first grade referees is amazing. And I'm fully in support of it. That said, I do agree with you. They've got to still meet the same standard because the game fast, it's physical, it's a product, and it's got to continue to be a viable financial product. So I accept all that. But I think now whether she goes back to reserve grade for a few weeks, they give us some more minor games out of the spotlight. When I say minor games, some of maybe the lower level team, lower performing teams, I should say, in the NRL to get a confidence back. I would hate to see her lost to the first grade refereeing, I guess is what I'm trying to say in a really bad.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm certainly not saying, you know, full stop. I'm just saying, you know, she needs opportunity to improve and given opportunity to improve. But yeah, just short term, at the moment, there's no other way of sugarcoating. At the moment, she's not. So, you know, the NRL are trying to deal that. Deadlock should. Look, we both know Casey. You know,
we've both met her.
Casey and Gavin.
Yeah.
You know, when they're working at the school we worked at, they came in great stuff with the kid.
Amazing. They were awesome, really nice, actually. Yeah, they were.
Yeah. Yeah, really awesome people. Yeah, it's a hard one. But, yeah, unfortunately, you do get sort of, you know, having women in the game, if they don't like it. And unfortunately, it's not about them. They can get stuffed.
No, I think that's just noise in the background. As I said, I think some of those players need to be held more accountable. Not excuse, you know, the referees, coaches can work with Casey and her standard of refereeing. The league needs to address the way those players reacted because I think it was a female referee. I don't believe if one of the male refs had a poor game, they would have acted the same.
Which is fair enough. And that's not to say, too, it's not to say she's the only shit referee running around.
That was my point. We have some other shit referees out there.
Definitely not. Look, so anyway, regardless, she's been given the gig. I hope she goes well this weekend.
Which game has she got this weekend? Do you know?
Roosters Warriors.
Okay.
Tomorrow. Oh. So we'll see. Look, yeah,
that's going to be a high profile one for a couple of reasons. And I'm a bit worried the magnifying glass will be on her more than even usual. So hopefully she has a really great game.
Hopefully so. But look, the NRL will, if she doesn't go great, the NRL are going to have a difficult, they're going to have a difficult week, mate. But I personally think, but that's not, worst case scenario, she has another shot. Just rest her for a month.
Exactly.
And as you said, the season goes on. There's some teams, obviously, that look like won't make the eight, do there and get her confidence back and, you know, keep going.
Yeah. No, I think she's got a future as an NRF is what I think she definitely does. And she'll be there. Maybe, as you said, a bit more support, a bit more coaching lower grade, soften her back in and she'll be ready to go again.
Hopefully so. And as I mentioned, Belinda Sharp, she seems like, you know, holding her own. Great. David Fifita. This one was a funny one. And he didn't want to stay at the tight. Panthers were supposedly chasing him. That to me didn't, because they weren't going after like for like, you know, with losing the big front rower. You know, who's going back to the Warriors.
Fisher Harris.
Help me, Greg.
Fisher Harris,
thank you. Yeah, and you know, to go from a dominant front rower and then they're gonna sign a edge second rower who comes in and out of the game, it was like I thought it was strange. But anyway, I believe he has signed going.
Yeah, it's been announced. He's going to the Roosters.
So the Roosters. Look, for once with the Roosters, normally it's like, oh, how? But because the Roosters are losing so much talent, yeah, and for salary cap. So there, yeah, that's what the Roosters are going that way. Look, I'll be interested. I think it'll go one or two ways. Feeder at the Roosters. Robertson will be very tough. He won't take crap. So he'll either get fitter and more committed and be a superstar, or he'll go pear-shaped.
Yeah, my feeling exactly. I think your comment before, he floats in and out of games as he plays. He's a bit Latrell Mitchell like that in my mind, that when he's on, he's absolutely
he's
dominating, but he can drift mentally out of the game for a while as well. And I think Latrell suffers from the same thing. But when I was reading that, I thought the exact same. He's either going to come into line and love Robinson's style and get fit and stay focused for 80 minutes every week, or it's going to be a very short-lived experiment and he'll be out the door very quick.
Hopefully the formula for him, because he is good. When he's on, he's great. He's a great footballer.
Absolute talent. Completely agree. When he's on, he's brilliant talent. You want to see him playing.
So we'll see how that pans out. I mentioned with the Roosters, so many going. Luke Keary announcing that, this season will be his last. Now, not a little segue, Greg. We're coming to probably the most significant story in NRL this week is the absolute carnage of star players, and particularly New South Wales origin players. So in my little book here, where I write a few notes, right? This is after the last. So I was just writing some notes this week. I'd written Adam Reynolds, bicep, Cam Pappy, right? And that was enough on its own to say, wow, big names out. And then to that list, we can add Turbo with a hamstring again, Chin, Nathan Cleary's retreated his hammy, Jerome Smith's out for a few weeks. Well, so by God, they are falling.
Yeah, selection for Maguire is going to be very interesting, because a number of those names would have been automatic selection for the game one.
Most certainly, like Turbo, whether he thought he deserved it or not, would have been. Nathan Cleary obviously would have been the first one picked. Look, Pappy wasn't quite on. Look, could have been a bolter, but probably not quite. Cam Murray, number one, he would have
automatic.
Been the first or second player pick. So yeah, the cupboard is getting rather bare for halfback.
The halfbacks are interesting, because their second choice would have been, and I think was last year, Mitchell Moses, and he's out as well.
Apparently is coming back this week or next.
Okay.
So if he gets through that, I think, because there's just no one else around.
Mm, not at that level, and at least he's got experience at that level.
You know, and I wonder how that's going to shape the 5'8 role.
Mm.
That's probably going to change their thinking with the 5'8.
I would think so, because in my opinion, Luai's picked more because he partners Cleary week to week rather than his natural or his ability week to week.
I agree. He's not the best. He's not the best 5'8 in my opinion. I think, look, hard to tell how Cody Walker's going. The Rabbitohs are going so bad, but he did play a couple of games last year. I think, look, Matt Burton, great kicking game, can kick goals, but is he who they need at 5'8? This would be a turn up for the book. Luke Brook, could they get Moses and Brook together?
The way Brooks is playing wouldn't be the worst decision. He's playing all right.
He is. But actually, I don't know whether Luke Keary hired from that, but I think Luke Keary.
Yeah, you're probably right. Luke Keary should probably give a crack. I agree with you.
So it made it very, very interesting in terms of select. And that's the thing, isn't it, with Origin? You can have all the discussion about this and that. Juries will always play a role.
Yeah, it's because they play at the middle of the season, so they've had that many weeks for injuries to rear the ugly head, and which has happened to New South Wales. And you know, the depth chart comes into play and see how deep we really are as a state. So it'll be interesting times. Always good. No matter who they pick, it'll be fun.
Oh, it's great theatre, always. And plenty of conversation. Now we might actually get on to the actual game itself. So just a quick recap. Last week's winners were the Panthers touched up the Bunnies, the Raiders over the Eagles. Great comeback. How the hell the Eagles that game, I will never know. The Raiders go away. The Roosters over the Broncos. A little bit of an upset, or not really, but I got sucked into the Broncos, my tipping. The Dogs over the Tigers. Look, it shows we're both that rat. The Tigers, yeah, they're better than last year, but they're still pretty ordinary. And the Dog, they're slow. Storm over the Titans. The Titans could have and probably should have won that game, a really close one. Dolphin came back from about a couple of tries down to beat the Cowboys. Sharks over the Dragons. Sharks and the Knights over the Warriors. So probably the two things to come out of that, or a couple of things, were the Warriors. They've lost four on the bounce, I think. The Eagles. Manly have sort of lost their way a bit, and the Cowboys going wrong.
Yeah, they've lost their way. The other thing I'd say is our two teams, the Roosters and the Tigers, are starting to show their genuine true colours. I think we had a bit of false hope early on in a couple of those early rounds, and now they're really showing they're not up to it at the moment. Yeah.
No, the Dragons and the Tigers. No, unfortunately.
As you commented, probably slight improvement, particularly the Tigers, but really it's only a slight improvement.
And I think the Titans have shown enough to say they're going to finish above both Tigers.
I would totally agree with you. I think they're actually on the up and coming good. I think Desi will have them going. they just took a while to get settled, and I think it'll come good for them because they're showing some really good form the last couple of weeks. As you said, should have won that game you just mentioned, every opportunity.
And they've lost a couple of close ones as well, Titans, so they're coming. But in terms of this round already, we'll have the game. So once again, the Eagles out to a couple of try lead, got run. Dolphins, too good for them. Really good attacking game, though, in difficult condition.
I actually watched that game up there on Thursday night. You see, it was very wet, a lot of rain. But geez, the Dolphins ran the ball and played well, continuing the condition.
They're a great team to watch.
They really are, aren't they? They're a real fun team to watch.
You know, they're like fins up, I say. Look, a really tough game, first game last night. Panthers 10 over the Dogs. Look, the Panthers, they did it quite comfortably. Of course, the big news out of that, Cleary going down or redoing his hamstring just before halftime. The Dogs really had a crack. They're not quite at Penrith's level as yet. The conditions probably think more. Just a real tough grind. Did you catch that one?
No, I missed that one, but I have watched the results, and I think what you're commenting, I think the Dogs, not yet, but they're really showing where they're heading.
They're heading in.
They really are.
And last night, the Broncos wait 30-40. Last night.
Before, when's Arthur going to come under the microscope like some of the others? Because, geez, he's had a good crack and it's not working again.
No, it is time. The Broncos, not bad considering that was, you know, Reynolds is gone and they had the young debut halfback who 27 years of old age, Rogers, his name was. But he played quite well. Look, the outside backs for the Broncos, Hobbo was outstanding. The winger who's in at the moment, Mariner, he's just blitzing it. Yeah, the Bronx are, and they're really packed. Payne Haas coming back from injury the last few weeks, getting better each week. The Bronx aren't going anywhere, put it that way.
Yeah, I watched their game the week before when Reynolds got injured. His arm? That was a terrible look. Bicep, that was a terrible look at injury, by the way. But I think the Bronx are heading in the right direction as well.
Yeah, they're going to be there, I think, when it matters. And
although they lost that game against the Roosters, and the Roosters were good, there were still signs the Broncos are heading in the right direction.
Definitely. And remiss of me not to mention, back to the Dolphins Eagles, Tommy Turbo has redone his hammy.
Yeah.
And everyone knows Turbo's hit with hamstring injuries. I was talking to, shout out to Cherry, mate from Touch. Well, he's a big Manly man, you know, which is unusual. He's a top bloke that goes for Manly. I guess everyone's got one thing that goes against them. But I agree with him. I think he should just take the game. Just get it right. Do whatever it takes. Because let's face it, the last 2 years, he's been okay. But he hasn't been pretty, you know, that really great couple.
No, not since he did that injury in the Manly Mall or wherever he's running through the Manly Mall. it's since that injury that he hasn't been, as you said, just hasn't been the same.
Yeah, because he went over to Philadelphia for that crew and did a good job with it. You know, played, and he had a pretty good season after that. Still just not quite. So Turbo, look, he's still not that old. There's plenty of time. So yeah, because once again, he's another one of those players. When he's at his best. Moving on to today, Greg, we'll get your thoughts. Give you mine, whether you like them or not, unfortunately for you. West, today we've got my Tigers up in Tamworth against the Knights. So Knights are favourites. I think this could go either way. I'm not sure whether it's raining up there like it is near. It's sold out. Fantastic.
Good to see.
Look, I'm going to tip the Tigers more out of loyalty than sure common sense. Look, Knights are playing a little bit better on form, but I won't be. So I think the Tigers.
Yeah, I agree with you. It could go either way. I'll probably lean towards Newcastle just because I'm not convinced in the Tigers, even though they are a bit better. I'm convinced, not that convinced in Newcastle either, but I just think they're playing slightly better, slightly more consistently than the Tigers. So without any real commitment, I'm going with the Knights.
I think you're spot on. Common sense. Then we've got 5:30 game. Dragons versus the Rabbitohs. Jubilee.
God, that's a bloody shit game.
Shit first. Dragons $1.53 favorite, $2.52. Look, I wouldn't be surprised the Rabbitohs win, but on the Dragons should be waiting.
What you said is exactly what I was about to say. The Dragons should win it on form, but this is the game. I wouldn't surprise me if the Bunnies got up just because of the traditional historical rivalry between the Dragons and the Bunnies. It could be the game the players sort of get their shit together and perform like a team. Where's it at? Out of interest, mate?
Jubilee.
Look, a bit like your Tigers, I'll go with Dragons more through my heart than my head, but wouldn't be shocked if the Bunnies get it.
I wonder though too, Trill, like whether he plays well, he is one of those players. Remember back years ago, Joey John, how good he was. Some games, if he came back on the team, even if he didn't have his best, the team just lifted. because he was in the team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
And I just wonder whether that...
Oh, I could see the Bunny. I tip the Dragons, but, you know, if I watch that Savo and the Bunnies get up, I won't be shocked in any way, shape, or form.
But actually, us bagging it, saying crap game, I reckon it'll probably be an okay game to watch. If it's not pissed down, it might be a bit of throwing the ball around. It might be, but blockbuster tonight. We've got the Storm Sharks first versus third, and that's down.
Hard one, isn't it?
I think I actually went the Sharks in my...
I'm about to say, I'm going to go the Sharks in probably what would be considered an upset, but I'm going to go the Sharks, even though it's down there in Melbourne. Jeez, I just like the way they
play well. Look, Jerome Smith is out. Storm at Munster still. He'll run the show. Look, yeah, could go either way. Look, two really good, best way of summing it up.
Two great teams that are well coached.
A draw, maybe. And they're both $1.92, so the sports tab can't survive.
Yeah, I'm leaning just like we're talking half a millimetre towards the Sharks, and that's about how close.
Look, Storm at home, always hard, but the next 3 weeks, we're really going to know. I'm with you. I'm very impressed with how they're going, but I think they're playing Storm goes or Panthers mix as well. So the next month or so, we'll know exactly us Sharks. Then we mentioned the first Sunday game, the 2 o'clock game. So the Roosters are raging hot favourite, $1.30. Warriors three. Warriors have been awful.
Yeah, they've really lost their way over the last month. You can't tip against the Roosters in that game at the moment. It's just they're playing quite well and heading in the right direction. Playing well and getting better from what I can see.
They'll be strong, I think. And final game, the Titans versus the Cowboys. Titans, $2.30. Cowboys favourite. Really?
No, I'm going the Titans. I think the Titans are on the up and up, and I think Cowboys aren't great at the moment and not looking great. I think the Titans could get that one.
Yeah, I've gone with you. I think the Titans. Although the Cowboys, the other side of the coin, if not this game, when are the Cowboys? But God, they've got to do it soon.
Yeah.
The season is slipping away.
It'll slip away very quickly.
Titans. No, that's interesting to see how that one goes. All right. So big couple of weeks NRL. Really looking forward to another great weekend of matches. Greg, we'll just head over to the AFL. So there's been some really good games there. The AFL, it's the Sydney teams are dominating. Fantastic. And as we often mention, really annoyed some of the Melbourneites. But last week, just very quickly, we had the winners were the Crows, Collingwood Carlton, the two teams I hate the most. But look, great, Phil. You know, ridiculous, almost sold out, close, Collingwood winning that one. Swannies, the local, this battle of the bridge, two Sydney teams. The Swannies were way too giant. Giants were quite disappointing, to be honest. St Kilda over North Melbourne. Geelong's first loss for the year it was. Close game. And Essendon, one goal. West Coast, Dockers, Flogman. And Hawks, Hawthorn beat Bulldog, the line, that local derby against the Gold Coast. Moving on to the games thus far, round 9. Carlton again, like 1 point over Melbourne. Thursday, an absolute thriller. And Geelong have now lost two on the trot. Port Adelaide beat them by a goal last night. Port Adelaide were very, very 40-odd points in front, I think, five. Geelong made a comeback quite. And bizarrely, they normally don't really have two Friday night games. Because it was in Perth, Swannies played, and all Swannies stopped 87.
Wow, another only 39.
Swannies, good. Yeah, it's by 48, they won, sorry. So
yeah, but only 30.
Freo were terrible.
Yeah. Swanee's having a good season. Well, I know you're more over it than me, but Jesus, good to see. Well, both Sydney teams, actually. Love to see GWS, who just the AFL's poured billions of dollars in. Done a good job in the West, and it's a slow burn. I mean, we're talking 10 years, but it's still a slow burn. They're slowly, slowly, slowly gaining popularity.
They are, and the fact that they're still, like, they're actually premiership favourites at the moment. So, one of them anyway. The fact that, yeah, that was always my worry, how they maintain it, yeah, because they had all their billions of dollars and high draft of it, whereas now they don't get as much help, but still managing, you know, to be so competitive.
Yeah, no, whatever the organisation they've got there is a good one, because Gold Coast have had the same, came off the same platform and have been a disaster, results-wise, I mean, and GWS have, you know, in a market where they're competing really in rugby, what people would call rugby league heartland, and have been so successful, which is really... credit to them. It's good to see.
Who would have thought, though, the Gold Coast spending all those billions on one player, that would go bad for them. But anyway, the AF, the Melbourne Knights, the Victorian, absolutely hate it. But the AFL administrate who they want, you know, a thriving national game.
Yep.
You love it.
Well, to see, where's Brisbane at the moment? They're going okay they're okay, aren't they?
Yeah, not as good. I'll quickly read the table in a sec. Not as good, but after making the grand final last year. But they're starting to get.
You know, those Victorians must hate the fact both Sydney teams and then Brisbane hovering around three of the 20 so successful must kill them, which I love.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, which I just love it how much they hate. And look, from their perspective, I get it. You know, particularly with the Giants, were just given so much and all that. You know, and particularly not so much the Collingwood and the Carlton, you know, the big money clubs, Rich, but I guess the Western Bull, the Bat, you know, West Dog sort of clubs, you know, always seem to get shafted north. But anyway, it is what it is. Okay, so the ladder at the moment, look, this is mid round, so not quite that clear, but Swanies, Geelong, Swanies first, Geelong second, Giants first, sorry, set up, Cats second, Giants third, Melbourne fourth. There's a couple of teams on 24 points. Giants, Melbourne, Port Adelaide, and you've got Carlton as well. Then Essendon, Fremantle make up the eight. Collingwood side the eight, and they have come starting day three. Now they've won four in a row. The Suns are actually same number of points, so not going that bad. Then Western Bulldogs, Crows, Lions. Lions only won two games, actually. St Kilda, West Coast. But the Bulldogs, Crows, Lions, St Kilda on 12 points. Hawthorn, West Coast on eight. Richmond have won one game. And the hapless Kangaroos, North Melbourne, are game. So, look, in terms of the whole game, it's probably great because there's a mix. The West Australia team, well, Fremantle. So, you know, it's a good Port. One of the Adelaide teams is there. Traditional, look, the fact that some Melbourne teams are going well, love. So it's a nice thing.
It shows that it can be a national sport.
Well, and doing it the best. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to get into that NRL AF bait, but in terms of a proper national, the AF.
Sorry, they're just doing it better. And we can have that conversation another day. But you're right. The AFL, in terms of national sport, leaps and bounds ahead of the NRL.
Totally. Right, Greg, over to you. Formula One. Been some racing going on?
Yeah, so since I gave a last update in Formula One, there's actually been two races. We had the last one we updated was the Japanese Grand Prix. But since then, we've had the Chinese Grand Prix. And then last week, we had the Miami Grand Prix. So I'll jump back to the Chinese Grand Prix. No shocks with this one. You'll be Verstappen finished first. Lando Norris finished second. Sergio Perez third. Charles Leclerc fourth. Sainz Jr. fifth. And George Russell sixth. That was our Chinese Grand Prix. Then last week we moved to one of the three US Grand Prix. Now this is the first of three at Miami International Autodrome. And it was a nice up because Verstappen didn't. We had Lando Norris finish first. Verstappen second. Leclerc third. Perez fourth, Sainz Jr. fifth, and Lewis Hamilton finished sixth. So that we now move into the European part of, or much of the European part, because they do jump back, they have a couple of European, then jump back to Canada and go back to Europe again. But the next one's in Italy, the Emilia Romagna Grand Prix, and that's next week on the 19th. So as of now, the result, the driver standings are, no surprises at first, Verstappen's first for Red Bull on 136 points. We've got Perez second with Red Bull for 103 points. We've got Leclerc third, Ferrari, 98 points. Then we've got Lando Norris for McLaren Mercedes on 83 points. Sainz for Ferrari, 83 points. And then the Australian Oscar Piastri, the McLaren on 41. Just to go backward, with the Chinese Grand Prix, Piastri finished eighth and got 4 points for that. And Ricciardo didn't finish in that race. And then with the Miami Grand Prix, Piastri finished 13th, but no point. And Ricciardo did finish 15th, but no point. And as I said, that gives Piastri, he's going all right. He's there sixth in the Drivers' Champion on 41 points. And Ricciardo's 14th on 5 points. So he has got some drivers.
Well, they're getting up points. Yeah, we've said, well, I think another few seasons.
Yes.
I think he's going to be one.
He certainly would. The more successful teams, the Ferraris and Red Bulls, will have his eye on him as a future driver because he's getting results. So, yeah, we'll keep out.
I think the future is.
I agree. I think poor old Daniel, I love Daniel, great personality, but towards the end of his career now. But I think Oscar is heading right in all in the right direction. We'll be driving for one of those really competitive teams in the not.
No, I agree. I think that will happen for sure. But Greg, we'll come back to you. Still talking, but we'll come back for your summary in a minute.
Of course.
Just, and this will keep a few people happy. We have been a little bit slack with the round ball game, and that particularly with the A-League, but we've got, it is the A-League finals at the moment. So their finals going a little bit. What happened? Well, we're up to semi-final, but I'll just quickly go through how the season finished. So we had Central Coast Mariners on top, Wellington Phoenix, Melbourne Victory, Sydney FC, Melbourne City FC. They made up the finalists. And then we had the Wanderers, Adelaide, Brisbane, Newcastle, West United, Perth got the wooden spoon. So that's how it all finished. Then the fight, so the finals have been, so I remember Coast knocking out, I remember MacArthur got knocked out, Sydney, etc. But how it has turned up, now I must say, I'm not a big, you play one game against the team all year. And when it comes to the semi play, they play two legs. Like, what's that about? Oh, it's like they're trying to be like the Champions League. Like, to me, the finals thing. So what they're trying to do with that, really don't. But anyway, the results are, so we have Melbourne last, Mariners defeated Sydney FC, I think it was last night. And so they got a lead, 2-1 lead. And they play off again next week. And Melbourne Victory and Phoenix, they have their first leg tonight, last week. So games next week, and then we'll have the final in a four teams left. But before we move on, Greg, Central Coast, they were a basket case a couple of years ago, and they've turned themselves around. You probably heard that they won the big tournament. It's sort of like the second tier Asian tournament, like the Europa League in Europe. And they traveled all the way to Mars, I think it was, during the week, and won.
I believe they actually traveled in economy. They didn't even get business class. They traveled all the way there during the week, won, came back, played their match or whatever. Yeah, look, they were for sale not that long ago. And as you said, both on the field and off the field, a basket case. So they've got clearly some really good administrators up there to turn that around. And on the back of that, of course, good players and good coach. But you need the administrators to get the finances in order so you can attract the good players and then move forward from there. And they seem to have done all the right things.
And those little battlers, in between Sydney and Newcastle, on the Central Coast there, but no, phenomenal. But they should be congratulated. And they have the upper hand against Sydney in the two legs thing. So see if they can go on and make the final.
Yeah, it'd be good
EPL,
if they did.
Yeah. EPL, Greg, there's only a couple of games to go. It's really hot. Unfortunately or unfortunately, it's like you're going to win it as it stands at the moment. So Arsenal are on top on 83 points. Man City on 82, second. Liverpool on 78. Aston Villa on 7. And that most likely will be the top four who qualify for Champions League. Tottenham have dropped the ball a bit. Tottenham on 60 and Newcastle 6. So that's the top six. So look, 6-7 points between Tottenham and Aston Villa. Villa have two games to go. Tottenham have three. Very unlikely for Tottenham to oust Villa. They would have to win their next three games, get all 9 points, and hope Villa lose them all or get one. So probably not going to. Right at the top, Man City are 1 point ahead below, but they've got so most likely take title. Down the bottom, sadly, Sheffield United are gone. Burnley could somehow get out of it, very unlikely. And Luton Town, still slim chance of staying up, but probably. And Notts Forest are a team that they're 3 points ahead of. So Notts Forest, if they play well, they'll stay up. But maybe Town could pull something out of the fire. I'm not sure. But that's the EPL, Greg, as it stands.
Always great. We've said this over and over again, but I love the relegation system. I wish we had the population in our comp do the same thing, because it's giving those bottom teams something to play for right to the very end. Really good sporting. For sporting nuffies like us, it's a great
thing. Yeah. I agree. It'd be great if we could. And lastly, on soccer, stroke football, champions. So we, at the moment, well, actually, one of them's been decided. Well, actually, both, sorry. So Paris Saint-Germain, Borussia Dortmund won the first one, 1-0. Now, and remembering two games, that an away goal is worth 2-1. So they won 1-0. They won that 1-0. And I'm not sure what the first, that was the second short goals league. But anyway, Borussia Dortmund event, Paris Saint-Germain were knocked out, and Bayern won. So Real Madrid won away 2-1. Oh, that's right. Bayern Munich, 88th minute in, right? So I think they must have scored away at Real Madrid. They had it in the bag. They were going to the champ final. But Real Madrid scored two goals in about 3 minutes. I know their first one was 88th minute and then one after that. So the aggregate was 4. So Real Madrid pulled it out of the rent and got.
So after all that football, 3 minutes decided who went through. Crazy, isn't it?
So the final is on June the 2nd, and that just back on Bayern Munich. So they're normally the dominant team in Germany. I think they've won the last 9 titles and lost And Harry Kane, striker, captain striker, he went over there. He signed with Munich before Ange Postecoglou signed Tottenham, I believe. Whether that would have changed, I'm not sure, but he wanted to win title. And of course, first time in a decade, he goes to Bayern Munich and they don't win the title.
Mm.
So talk about unfortunate time. Yeah, so that's, look, Real Madrid, those big team. But it's good to see a few different. It's good to see that's not busting up. Teams down earlier. So, yeah, look, Real Madrid will be the favourite winner, but it'd be nice to get up.
Agreed. Agreed.
So that's the football world, Greg. NBA playoffs. It's definitely in the middle of the time.
It is. So we've moved on to the conference semifinals since we last spoke. So we finished the first round. So just to recap, in the East, in the first round, we had Celtic against the Miami Heat. Celtics won that series 4-1 and moved through. We had the Cleveland Cavaliers versus Orlando Magic, which the Cavs won 4-3 and moved through. We had the Milwaukee Bucks versus Indiana Pacers, which the Pacers won that series 4-2 and moved through. And the last game in the East was the Knicks versus the 76ers, and the Knicks won that series 4-2 and have moved through. In the West, we had the Thunder, OKC Thunder versus New Orleans Pelicans. Thunder won that 4-0. We had the Clippers versus the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas won that one 4-2. We had the Timberwolves versus the Phoenix Suns, and the Timberwolves got that one 4-0. And we had the Nuggets v. the Lakers, and the Nuggets won that series 4-1, which took us through now. Currently, we're playing the conference semifinals. So the first semifinal in the Eastern Conference is the Boston Celtics versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Celtics. Oh, sorry, it's one game all. So we've had two games in Boston, and it's one each coming out of that.
Best of five or best of seven?
Seven. Best of seven.
Seven.
So in the other semifinal, we've got the Indiana Pacers versus the New York Knicks, and New York lead that 2-0, but they are playing game three right now as we speak on Saturday morning Australian time in the third quarter, and Pacers are currently leading by 6, so very close, but we'll know where that is up to game three later today. In the West, we've got first series is against OKC Thunder versus Dallas Maverick, and that series is currently tied 1-1. And we've got the Timberwolves versus the Nuggets, which is probably the biggest upset so far. Both games have been in Denver, but the Timberwolves won both and lead that series 2-0, and now go back today for game three in Minnesota. So that one, I would say, Timberwolves look very likely to get that over the Nuggets, and that would be an upset. So
absolutely. I remember seeing the result. Yeah, and I was surprised because Nuggets are a defending champion.
Yes, right. And Timberwolves they were awesome in their first round series against the Suns. Now, the Suns have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, one of the big three, as they like to call it, and they swept them 4-0. So, and are playing just as well against the Nuggets. So very interesting times in the West. And looks like good chance the Timberwolves will get through, which would be awesome, but an upset. The other series are close at the moment. We'll see what happens. But yeah, we've got Pacers Knicks playing right now on Saturday morning, and that will be followed today with the Timberwolves and Nuggets. So big day of hoop. The other two play again tomorrow. So yeah, interesting time. In 2 weeks, we'll know who's in the conference finals for our next update before we get into the winner of the East play the winner of the West for, as the Americans like to say, the World Championship.
The World Championship. That's right. No one else plays.
Correct.
No, I'm not a huge hoops fan, but I play off time.
Yeah, it's serious. Just, and all the play, there's no sitting out. They all take it seriously. It's good to see.
And so we look forward to your update in the next pod, Greg, when it's definitely in the business end.
Will do.
Last thing I just wanted to mention, and you feel for these people in the situation, you would have heard probably that Australia's number one ranked Georgia Godwin did an Achilles injury.
I
so
did.
4 years of training, and unfortunately he's going to...
Yeah, it's just, I have no words for how empathetic I am for athletes that put so much effort in, particularly sports like gymnastics where the Olympics is the genuine pinnacle. They have their world championships and things like that, but they are competing to represent Australia at the Olympics. It is their pinnacle. You get things like rowing, gymnastics, those sort of sports where it is all about the Olympics, and you get an injury, 2 months out, and you're just all that work. It must be absolutely mentally devastating.
Oh, and like the runners as well. Like, they can be all the training and a month out, you do your hammy.
Yeah.
And that's it. The dream is over.
So I do really feel for her.
Oh, it's awful, awful. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that isn't the lap of the god.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't prepare for that. No matter what they do, they can't prepare for it.
It's just like, and we spoke about the NRL. It's funny, isn't it, how some players, athlete, just have bad luck of injuries at the wrong time. And you get other players who aren't as talented, always seem to be available, like in football, always available origin time, go and get a gig. Whereas you get the, you know, I couldn't tell you anyone offhand I'm thinking about, but you know what I mean? That sort of.
Yeah, some seem to draw just the short stick all the time in terms of injuries at the wrong time, and others just seem to be there always ready to go. It's kind of bizarre.
I can tell you one. We might have even mentioned him on the pod before. Finals time. Ian Chook-Heron.
Oh, my God.
Dragon.
Yes.
You know, a much maligned player. Look, let's face it. He was a goal. He wasn't as good as Ross Conlon. Ross Conlon, a similar ilk. Ross Conlon had offer. But he was a very ordinary guy, but a pretty good goal kicker. I remember he burst on the scene with the Dragons. He played nearly one season. But then the next few years, he wasn't great much. Wasn't up to it. But then their star winger get injured come finals time. And there he is.
I do remember that. And you're right, he's very, very ordinary wing. And that's been kind to his ability.
And I think he even played and won all those grand finals against the Broncos in the early 90s.
Could be right. You could be right. Yeah.
And then he disappeared. And next thing, Parramatta are playing finals.
And he turned up on the wing for Parramatta. I remember that. I remember that vividly.
Yep. And yeah, someone, their first call, there he was. Good old. But no, if Chook's listening, hello. Like I said, anyone that plays first grade, we're just comparing. Compared to the average NRL play.
Yeah. But as you said, very, very, very good goal kicker.
Yeah, he was. No. I always think of him, not just him. Remember the era of the bicycle shorts or the torpedoes?
That's funny. He was sort of into the bicycle shorts before the bicycle shorts or skins became the thing. And I remember he wore the padded bicycle shorts under his shorts. And he was one of the very first players to do it. I remember that vividly.
I remember after that, as a promotion thing. I remember one game, every Dragons player wore them. It's like a promotion. And I think after that, it was optional. And they slowly started disappearing. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure why, whether it was hot.
Yeah, I don't know. I know a lot of players wear skins under their shorts now, and it's kind of a different, the compression gear underneath. But yeah, you're right. That was that era before that compression garment really took off.
No, that'd be early 90s. Yeah, good days, though. Good days. Good memory. All right, Greg. Well, that's all I've got to share.
No, I'm done. That's great. Good, big fortnight of sport.
Excellent. The way. Sport, sport, and more sport. So to all our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in, lending your ears to our gibberish. Whatever you're doing, whatever, luck to your team, be it playing, watching, both. Yeah, there's plenty happening in the next few weeks. The football game won. Look, Paris, hey, to be honest, tennis tournament, French Open's coming up soon and will follow soon after. D'Italia is on at the moment. Means a tour de France isn't far away. Plenty of European going on. Plenty domestically as well.
Yeah, no, as you said, big time. We'll be getting into serious State of Origin conversations, selections very soon. We're getting that time of year for us. Yeah, so lots to look forward to. Hopefully those who play sport dries up enough, you can actually get some games in. I'm sure your touch has been impacted lately. And it's, as you said right at the beginning, real shame lots of junior sports impacted for a couple of weeks now, but hopefully it clears up soon and get our local sport back up and running. And if you do follow your team, I hope you have a win this weekend.
That's it. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. We'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
See you in 2 weeks, everyone.